Welcome to Intrepid Lifestyle Radio. Call it your wish list, your bucket list, your to-do list. This is the show where we explore the who, what, and where that make the list of good living. Broadcasting from lovely Canton, Georgia, this is Bill and Mike on the mic of the Intrepid Now Network. I'm your host, Bill Ramsey, joined by my friend and co-host, Mr. Mike Haberman. How we doing, Mike?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thank you very much. And I am really excited about today's show because our guest is from one of my family's favorite shows. I didn't watch season one, but I did watch season two, and I am deep into season three. So I'm really excited about our interview today.
Well, so the show, as you've seen, audience, on the post is Master Chef Junior. So, Mike, what intrigues you most about this show? Why did you and your family get so hooked on it last season?
Well, me, because I'm lucky if I can cook a grilled cheese sandwich.
Okay.
And just the fact that these young home cooks, as they're called, as opposed to chefs, can make some of the dishes that they make and have the knowledge that they have at 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old is just amazing. And I just find it fascinating they can do it and want to celebrate their achievements.
Well, without further ado, let's get into the conversation and meet this outlier who is on the show today. Here are a couple things that you may or may not know about today's guest. He has visited the President and First Lady at the White House. He's received official kudos from the city of Memphis, Tennessee. He's volunteered at soup kitchens. In 2013, he became the first and only kid judge to complete the training course given by the Memphis World Championship Barbecue Committee as a certified judge. He's featured in the Future Chef's Cookbook, released in the fall of 2014. He's been a food blogger since 2010, where he writes about food, cooking, and he reviews restaurants. His business ventures include the creation, manufacture, and the selling of his own spice blend, and an egg seasoning called the Good Egg. Oh, by the way, he's only 11 years old, too. You saw him win it all on MasterChef Junior 2. He is MasterChef Logan Guleft, here on the Intrepid Now Network. Logan, thank you, buddy, for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Well, buddy, we're really excited to get into this conversation. Before we do, I want to give a quick thank you to Chef Johnny Carino, who made the introduction for us to be here. So thank you, Johnny, for it, and thank you, Logan, for being here.
Yes, thanks, Johnny.
Logan, I'm interested, and my family is interested in, how did you, at such a young age, get involved with cooking, and then how did you get on the show? I mean, there has to have been, it looks like there's a big competition to get on the show. So what is your background in competitive cooking? How long have you been doing this, and how did you arrive at being on MasterChef Junior?
Well, the cooking part really started with making coffee for my mom. So I made coffee for her, and that's how it really got the ball rolling. And then the first competition that I did was the Jif Most Creative Peanut Butter Sandwich Contest. And I got runner-up in that. And so I got a free trip to New York and a bunch of happy prizes. And just been going on since then.
So as I understand, you were pretty disappointed when you received runner-up and not first place in that peanut butter competition. What did your mom say to you?
Well, I was very disappointed that I got runner-up. But my mom told me to get back on the horse and to really try again. And so I did the Epicurious Healthy Lunchtime Challenge, where you got to win a trip to the White House to meet the President and the First Lady. And so I won that one for the state of Tennessee. And so I got to go there. And that was really great.
Tell us a little bit about that trip.
Well, it was very cool. The room that we stayed in actually had a little, what's that, fan cycle? A little cycle. Exercise bike. Have one of those in the room and some weights. And so it was very cool. And then actually being in the White House was extremely cool. And they had the Marine Corps band and they were playing some kind of Disney tune. And it was very funny. Yeah, yes.
Yeah, you don't usually think of the Marine Corps band doing Disney, do you? So.
No. And they did it well.
Listen, it's the Marine Corps band. Everything they do well. That's for sure. Yeah. But I just cannot imagine Let It Go from a bunch of Marines.
So. Oh, no, it was Little Mermaid.
Even? Oh, well, that makes a little bit more sense with the Marines. So.
They are of the Navy. So anyway, Logan, keep going. As far as your introduction to MasterChef Junior, the show, where did that come from?
Well, really, what happened is they had some open casting calls around the U.S., and then you get to audition at Dallas. And so I went to Dallas. Dad drove me all the way there. Dad loves reality TV. You have to remember that.
Okay.
So Dad had the heart to drive me all the way out to Dallas, 7-hour trip, And we were there for a few days, and the casting process is very secretive, so I can't tell you much about it.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, wow. A lot of competition?
Yes.
Well, I've seen casting calls for American Idol, and they got 8 bazillion people standing there trying to become the next famous singer. So I would imagine that your competition was probably something similar to that. So you made it, you got on, and there are initially, how many people start off on a show? How many competitors did you have? Oh, bless you.
Thank you. We had 16 originally.
Okay.
16 went in.
And when you go to the show, I mean, as a viewer of the show, it looks like you all know each other and you like each other. It's like you've been lifelong friends. How long have you been on the show to get to know those people so well before you actually do the taping?
Well, it's only about a day or two before you really start the taping. You get like a day to set up in the hotel and then you're out filming. And that's really how it goes.
And how long is the taping for that entire show? I mean, it plays for weeks on TV, but how long did it actually take to film?
They told us to prep for about 8 weeks.
Okay.
And so Gordon Ramsay has been kind of a hero of yours for a long time before this show. Talk to me about meeting him and what was that like?
Well, meeting Gordon Ramsay, you really see him on all these TV shows. He's like, oh, this food stinks. Oh, this is raw. Oh. You're a terrible cook. Get out of the kitchen. Kind of deal. And it was very cool to see him in a very nice light and to really have him be really nice and really mentor you throughout the entire competition.
He certainly is a very different person in dealing with the kids as opposed to the adults. You know, he is, turns out to be actually a very nice person if you're under 15.
But he has those, he keeps everybody just to the same standard.
Right.
And that's really the key thing to remember here is that he keeps everybody to his standards, even if you're a kid or an adult or a cat.
So I am curious because in all the shows that I watched, you all had some very interesting challenges, some very interesting foods. You get the indication that as they go around and talk to everybody that some of the stuff you are not familiar with or you've never made before, you know, how do you deal with making a dish that they want to be restaurant quality when you've never seen it before? As a matter of fact, I think one of the, you had a salmon that was about, 8 feet long and 400 pounds. But how do you deal with something, a challenge like that, where you've never done it before?
Well, one of the things that you need to remember here is that they could throw anything at you.
Sure.
But it really doesn't really matter to them. They say, yeah, they can handle that. So you never really know what's going to come your way. And it's just knowing the kind of the basic underlying principle of here's how you cut up a fish. So I've cut up a fish. I cut up a small fish at home. But when you deal with something bigger, you just need to go about it in the same sort of way.
Okay.
I got a good question. Have you ever tried the oil poached salmon you cooked on the show?
No.
He's never even tasted it.
Really?
He came home and cooked it. He'd never cooked it before. He just had read about it online and he said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go big or I'm going to go home because all my competitors are going to saute or pan sear or
gross.
Do something else. And I have to stand out. I have to go big or go home. So I'm going to oil poach this fish. I was like, Logan, Logan, Logan. Oh God, Logan. But he had never tried it.
Now, Mom, is there a live audience there? Do you all have an opportunity to watch what's going on, or are you backstage? Or
no, we're not. We're locked in a parent's room, and you can see what the kids are doing, but you can't hear them. And it's they keep the parents off set, because if you were on set, you'd be giving your kids keys to how to cook and how to help them.
Okay.
I mean, 'cause that's just natural for parents to do. So, no, the parents are just, they're in isolation.
Oh, okay. All right.
So the voice audience you're hearing in the background is Mom off to the side of the computer right now. Kim, thank you for joining us, Kim. I've got a question first for you, Logan, and then for you, Kim. Logan, number one, where did all of this education come from? How is it that you learn so much about food? And two, this is for Mom, after he answers, Mom, what point do you think to yourself, yeah, my kid really does have a tremendous gift and drive here. And I'm curious, Mom, how you worked with that. So Logan, where did all this start?
Right over there at Mom. That's where it all started, over there. Yeah.
Okay, answer the question.
It all started with Mom. Mom really got me into the kitchen and really helped me in the kitchen and really got those early days to be very easy for me. When you really think about it, you think of like a little kid in the kitchen, you think, oh my God, all the pots are going to be everywhere. And they were. They were a few days. Not very often though. And then she really helped it by making sure that making the mess wasn't really the problem.
Okay.
Nearly.
That's interesting.
How do you fit all of this in with a school day? I mean, I would assume you're going to school. So how do you do all of this stuff and still get an education?
Well, we have our math, English, spelling, science, history, Latin.
History.
Latin.
Okay, Latin. Keep going.
And then we have like more fun activities like field trips, and then we have culinary days. And I'm in the kitchen over there, and I'm cooking.
Okay, so you're homeschooled?
Homeschooled, yeah.
Okay, because I can't conceive of this fitting into a public school education, so.
No homeschool, way.
Well, that helps.
Well, you know, from my perspective, I knew Logan's my only child. So I'll preface that with Logan's my only child. And when I started being a mom, I had no idea. There's no manual. They don't come with instructions. And Logan just was drawn to the kitchen. He was drawn to the washing machine. He was drawn to the garbage truck. He was drawn to the train. And so I just said, how do I take this person? And my husband and I have a very upfront goal for Logan. And the goal is that he be a passionate person who takes care of his community and does good work for himself and for others. That essentially he's a good person. We don't care if he's the trash man, the garbage man, the guy who roofs your house. We don't care if he does manual labor. As long as he's passionate about what he wants to do, we're not sitting here saying, oh, we had a son, we're going to have a doctor, or he's going to be in the Army, or he's going to go to West Point, or he's going to be at Harvard. We just say, what's his passion, and how do we help him do that? So I let him in the kitchen, and we got some tools that really helped him, like a mezzaluna, where he held the handles and could chop real food. So I'd give him carrots and celery and onions and everything else, and he'd just chop and chop and chop and chop and chop, but he couldn't cut himself. And he had a knife that would cut meat and fish and everything, but it wouldn't cut his hand. And so he had those tools when he was 3, 2, 4, 6. And he would just go in the kitchen and I would buy cheaper ingredients like eggs and celery and stuff. And I would let him play with it so he could make a mean deviled egg at 3. Because what do you have to do? If you think about it, what are the steps to making drip coffee? It's 2 scoops and a pour of water. Well, pouring, you got to do for school anyway. So you practice the pouring. Now, sometimes there was coffee all over my floor, coffee all over that counter, coffee everywhere. And most of the time, you know, he got it right. And I just don't care about the mess. I was like watching this frizzle on the magic school bus. And I was like, oh, we're just going to let this happen. We're going to let him be organic and we're going to let him explore this. And when he did the Jif peanut butter sandwich, I was like, hey, make a peanut butter sandwich for me.
And I decided to go, I'm going to make a peanut butter burger. And Mom went, beef and peanut butter don't go together. I'm like, I'm not doing beef. I'm going to do turkey. And then that's how it really went. And then I added yakisoba sauce. And then I added spices and garlic and mushrooms.
And all kinds of stuff. It's a very complex recipe. And it was totally made by him. There was no adult sitting there saying, you got to add this and you got to do that. And I let him... You know, we ate a lot of turkey burgers for a while. The only thing I wouldn't let him do was touch the turkey meat. So I wouldn't let him do that because that's salmonella and everything else. So there are some rules to having a kid in the kitchen. You got to draw the line somewhere, but I really didn't draw the line too many places unless it was safety.
Well, Mom, we appreciate the fact that you didn't. Thank you for encouraging his gift and for your philosophy on rearing a passionate child who is serving himself and others. So thank you. Hey, we'll be right back after this quick break.
Founded to celebrate the things we prize the most, Sean Minor wines are delicious, approachable, with expressive flavors, and Sean Minor wines are a great value for you and your family. With a portfolio that includes Sean Minor wines, Four Bears wines, and Point North wines, you can learn more at SeanMinorWines.com. That's SeanMinorWines.com.
Welcome back to the Intrepid Lifestyle Show. This is Bill and Mike on the mic. I'm your host, Bill Ramsey, joined here with my co-host, Mike Haberman. We are having the great privilege of interviewing Master Chef Junior, Mr. Logan Guleff.
Logan, I'm a blogger. And I understand you have a blog as well. Tell us about your blog.
Well, I've got a blog called Order Up with Logan. I've been doing it for a long time now. I've been doing it forever. And it's been really a lot of fun blogging. The first blog that I ever did was a blog post that basically said that I was going to blog. And that was my first blog post. And then I did a few reviews, and then I learned how to put the pictures in. And now I'm really good at putting the pictures in. And that I take the pictures. But whenever I take the pictures, it's just the tiniest bit frustrating, because you're like, I want to eat this food so badly. And then you're like, wait, picture! And it's just like, why?
So do you put restaurant reviews on your blog, or do you put recipes on there, or do you do a variety of things on your blog?
Well, I think I've done a few recipes, and I've done a lot of restaurants. Most of my things are about restaurants or my adventures. So that's pretty much how it goes. And I have done a few videos in there. They're very nice, but Dad put them in there, so I don't know how to do that yet.
Okay, all right. It's really fun. I had to chuckle a little bit when you said your first blog post was, I'm going to blog. That's about what my first blog post was like, too. I think about four sentences long. I said, I'm not really sure what I'm doing, but here's I'm getting started. So, and I've been doing mine 9 years now. So,
yep.
Yeah. He's had 4 years, and he's number 6 on Urban Food.
All right.
Memphis.
Very
fantastic.
He's doing well.
Yeah.
He entered Urban Spoon about a year ago.
164.
At 164, and in a year, he climbed all the way up to number 6.
Super.
So he is blogging, but it's a lot of work.
It is.
No doubt. Well, congrats.
Bloggers out there, run!
Yeah. And for those, you see, I when we were about to put it on Urban Spoon, I was kind of done with the blog. But then we were like, oh yeah, put it on Urban Spoon. And once it was on Urban Spoon, it was so much more fun. Because the blog's a lot of work, so I was like, I don't really want to blog. But then we put it on Urban Spoon, and it was like, oh, yay, blog!
Yeah, was the number one country for a long time.
All right, so here's a funny story I have. So it tells you, like, here's the U.S., USA, and then, here's some other countries. Here's, like, Ukraine, and it's, like, Moldova, and some other Russia, and some other Eastern European country.
Yeah, Moldova was, like, the number one country that visited his blog for a while. We were like, Moldova? There's 900 people in Moldova reading your blog? That's just, wow. I mean, what are they thinking? They're going to come on vacation to Memphis? You know, I don't know.
And well, so then the show debuted, and then it went like, Ukraine was second, and then it went all the way down, and it was like, Indonesia, Malaysia, and then there was like a Vietnam, Philippines, and it was like, all these other countries, and then at the very bottom, it's like Ukraine. I'm just like,
yeah, they got bumped right off the list
in like 3 minutes.
Well, Logan, talk to us about your new venture of becoming a barbecue judge. Of course, you're in Memphis, Tennessee, which is a mecca of barbecue. Talk to us. Where did that come from? What are you doing with that?
Well, I'm certified judge at the Memphis and May Barbecue Competition. I took the certification class last year. And so, the year before.
2 years ago.
2 years ago, I took the class. And it was a very long seminar, like 7 to 3, I think it was. And so I was there for a long time.
And I learned all the ropes.
Learned the entire thing. And it was a very interesting process of learning how you have to start the smoking. And then how they're going to give you a fork, a knife, and a napkin. And they're all optional. And they're just kind of there to be polite. And also about how you know how there's that, there's the pork shoulder.
Right.
And then there's this part, and then there's the leg part.
Right.
And then in the middle of the circular part, there's a muscle. And they're going to pull out that muscle, and they're going to be like, ooh, you want to try this? And then you're going to be like, oh, man, that's the best barbecue ever. And then you're going to go to the next stop, and they're going to do the exact same thing. And you're going to be like, oh man, this barbecue was amazing. And that's called the money muscle. And it's just delicious.
Okay. So in judging a competition, how many tastes of barbecue do you end up taking during the day?
Oh gosh.
Well, you haven't done it.
Well, I haven't done it, but
they haven't let him judge yet. Oh, this year, he's been invited to be a celebrity judge. He's also been invited to run a team with a local restaurant owner. So he's got two really great opportunities that he has to think. Does he want to be the judge, or does he want to try for the win? And we're not sure which way he's leaning.
I don't know yet.
Now, something you showed us earlier is, which we didn't see on the radio, is the fact that you had a bag of spice. You've got your own spices and rubs?
Yes. Yes, I have a rub called Logan's Rub right here. Yes, Glenn.
Okay.
This is one of my rubs. I'm working on a barbecue rub and a rib rub. But when I made my rib rub, I still have to work out all the kinks. That one was a bit too spicy. All right, a lot too spicy.
So can our audience get a hold of these rubs yet, Logan? If they wanted some of these, how would they find them?
Well, we're still working on packaging them at a spice agency. And so we're still working on packaging these. But yeah, pretty soon on my blog you can find them. Order up with Logan at blogspot.com. And I also have a barbecue tour t-shirt because everybody here in Memphis loves barbecue. And so we have a little checklist of all, well, 30 of the best barbecue places in Memphis. And then we have, when you go there, you can ask them to check it off.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Then, like, let's say, where's Elwood Check? I mean,
well, you got Central, you got Brad, you got Hawk, Rendezvous, Memphis Barbecue Shop. There, 30 of the best ones are here. Now, in Memphis, there's 300 barbecue joints.
Whoa.
So you really can eat some barbecue here.
Yep. And so then we have a little, how cure you? And so 5 checks is a tourist. And then 10 checks is a half rack, 15 checks is a judge, 20 checks is a full rack, 25 is a pit master, and all of them is the Q King. And once you get to the Q King, you gotta take a picture of your shirt, and we'll put it up on our barbecue Memphis site.
I hope these t-shirts come in double extra large sizes, because by the time you've eaten that much barbecue, you're probably going to need a big t-shirt.
Yeah, they do. It's like 100 times larger than Logan.
Yes, it is.
You know, I never appreciated barbecue ribs at all until I happened to make a trip to Memphis a long time ago, and had my first experience with a dry rubbed rib that was absolutely fantastic. And that's actually the way I prefer to eat my ribs today, is a dry rub as opposed to all the sloppy barbecue sauce all over it. So Memphis is definitely trained to like barbecue ribs.
We have tons of different styles of ribs. We got the saucy stuff. We have this place that has this glazed ribs that have this like this weird glaze on them. And we're still not too sure how they do it.
Huh.
And
dry is king.
Dry is the king here. And there's one of our favorite places, Central Barbecue, has these wings. All right, now, you may all up there have these wings that are all saucy and all spicy. Now, these are like dry spice. So like fried, smoke.
Smoke,
oh my God.
Fried and rolled in dry rub.
Oh, man.
And OMG, are they good. And it's a hot, dry rub like you put on the ribs, and they just make the most outstanding wings.
Yes.
Sounds delicious.
It does. Well, Logan, we're almost out of time. I've got two last questions for you. This one comes from my neighbor, Ethan, across the street. He's 12. He's a huge fan of the show and a big fan of yours. He was thrilled when you won. His question for you when he heard that I'd be interviewing you was, what's next? The show's over. What are your next big things?
Well, I've got a YouTube channel going, and that's Logan Jr. Chef. I've got all of the social media stuff. They're all Logan Jr. Chef, and I hope to get a cooking show, and I'm working on a cookbook, and spice rub. I'm still working on more spice rubs, and just overall having a great time in the kitchen.
So you've said it already, but the last question, I want you to just remind our audience, what is the best way for them to connect with you and stay in touch with what you're doing?
Well, that's all my social media. I have Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff, and that's all Logan Jr. Chef. And that's all fabulous. And I've got a YouTube channel, and that's also Logan Jr. Chef. And I've got my blog, which is orderupwithlogan@blogspot.com. And email me at
orderupwithlogan@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Cool. Glad to see you using social media so much.
Yeah, it's very hungry for content, though.
Yeah.
Now, that's the only thing. Is that
he just got nominated for a shorty on Twitter.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. We don't know how far it's going to go, but it's really cool that some of his fans last night nominated him for a shorty.
Super.
Congratulations. Well, Logan, thank you for being here. Kim, a.k.a. Mom, thank you for being here. We really appreciate you carving out the time to join us on the Intrepid Now Network.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for having us. And thanks, Johnny.
Yes, Chef.
We appreciate it.
Yes, thank you, Chef Johnny Carino. We appreciate you, buddy. So, You know, for those who don't know, Johnny Carino also has a very attractive haircut that I have. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen that or not, but we both brush our hair with a razor. So anyway, that wraps this episode of the Intrepid Lifestyle Show. Make sure you stay in the know and when we publish new shows. You ask me, Bill, how would I do that? That's a brilliant question. Click the link at the bottom of this page. That'll take you to our curated mailing list, and there you'll be able to check the topics that interest you, and then we at the Intrepid Now Network will send you alerts when we publish something that needs to be on your radar. This has been Bill and Mike on the Mic. On behalf of my co-host, Mike Haberman, I am Bill Ramsey. We'll see you next time on Intrepid Lifestyle Radio. Come on.